Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Love Strategy. I'm Nina Atwood, and my purpose is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a great marriage for life. So please listen, call in, and share your dating and relationship stories. Ask the questions that keep you awake at night and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now stay tuned for Love Strategy.
Welcome, everybody. Good evening. It's Love Strategies again, and I'm Nina Atwood, your host, and I really want to ask you to think about what it is that is troubling you the most right now about your relationships. What is the thing that keeps you awake at night, the thing that you wonder about? You're not sure if you're doing the right thing, you're not sure if you're taking the right approach, or are you even thinking about it in the best, most positive way? And whatever that is, call in and ask your questions. You can also go into our chat room from our show page, and you can send us your question in text format. So we started a theme this month, and that theme is how to put your true desires front and center. So for most people, that is a committed, loving relationship leading to marriage. For most people, for players, and by that I mean the people who view relationships as a vehicle for them to get what they want, regardless of how it affects others. So I'm going to call that, for the sake of brevity, I'll call that being a player. For players, this is not your show. This is for people who want to live an intentional life. You know, a life in which you can design your experiences by choosing the people and situations that really fit for you. To do that, you have to develop and listen to your own inner compass. You know, that part of you that tries to guide you in life, if you're listening to it, I call it your inner compass. Some people call it intuition. Some people call it just being aware or being awake. Some people call it spirituality. You know, there are all kinds of names for it, but basically what we are talking about is that part of you that tries to tell you what is good for you, what is not so good for you. I call it an inner compass because when it's working and you listen to it, you often can find a sense of true north in your life. You know, that sense that you are on the right path, headed in the direction that you really want for your life. That's why I call it an inner compass. And, you know, and I think that works for you in all kinds of life situations, not just dating. It works for you in friendships. It works for you in occupation or career or job situations. It works for you in so many different ways if you are just simply paying attention to it. But my experience is that when people get themselves into situations that are not good for them, and I'm not talking about you're driving down the road and you're obeying all the traffic laws and somebody runs a red light and hits you. You know, you do not have control over situations like that. In life, there are accidents that happen that are outside of your control. But I'm talking about the kind of life situations that are self-inflicted, meaning that you're making choices and those are not the best choices for you. And you realize with hindsight and you look back on it and you think, you know, there was a part of me that kind of knew that this wasn't going to be a good situation for me. There was a part of me that was getting these little signals, or what people call red flags, what people call warning signs that tell you. You know, it's really interesting because there's a whole field today called emotional intelligence. And if you've never heard of Daniel Goleman, you might want to check out some of his books on emotional intelligence. And what Daniel Goleman and other researchers like him have done is they've actually been able to quantify the body's physiological response to inner awareness. In other words, the things that are dangerous to us in life, and I'm not talking about, you know, a barking dog is headed for you and about to bite you. I'm talking about dangerous situations with other people, situations that don't necessarily have a good outcome ahead for you, that our bodies are actually put together in a way that we can pick up emotional energy from other people, and we can recognize that if we're paying attention to the signs that there are in our bodies. And so the whole field of emotional intelligence has really shown us that there is a reason that we have that feeling called intuition, or that feeling that we call a gut feeling, that is trying to tell us what is good for us and what is bad for us, the kind of people that are good for us, the kind of situations that are good for us versus people in situations that are not so good for us. So you can wake up and begin listening to that more, and I really recommend that you do. I really recommend that as you move through life that you are alert and aware and paying attention. You know, one of the questions that single people often ask me is, well, Nina, why is it that you recommend so strongly that on the first few dates with someone new that I should not drink alcohol? You know, what is wrong with having a beer? What is so bad about having a glass of wine? Well, nothing. There is nothing wrong with having a glass of wine on a date or having a beer or even two, except that when you choose to do that with someone who is brand new to you, someone you don't know yet, someone who you have not yet been able to determine if they have the kind of character that is going to bring good things into your life as opposed to bad things into your life, until you know those things about someone, those first few dates are your opportunity to find out. That is when you are supposed to be interviewing someone to find out if this is the kind of person that you really want in your life. Well, the thing about having that glass of wine and that beer, and especially if you extend it over to two of them, is that alcohol numbs your ability to be dialed into the subtext of a conversation. The subtext meaning those clues and hints and signs that are telling you, the things that are not the direct verbiage that someone is giving you, but rather the indirect body language, the attitudes and the feelings and the kinds of things that are coming across to you on that emotional intelligence wavelength that you need to be able to pay attention to. Well, you can't pick that up when you're drinking. You simply can't. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions, meaning that your response, that the part of you that might have said, hold on, something doesn't seem right about that. Something in this person's story just doesn't sound like the truth. It doesn't sound right to me. That part of you is inhibited when you are drinking. So that is why I don't recommend that you drink alcohol. In fact, I strongly recommend that you avoid alcohol in the first few dates with somebody new. Because what you want to be able to do is to pick up those nuances, you know, that allow you to have that awareness of your own, you know, for lack of a better word, your bullshit meter, you know, that part of you that goes off when a situation is not right. You need to be able to listen to that. So this is all about paying attention to your inner compass so that you are going down a pathway that is really right for you. Now, if you are marriage-minded, and if you're listening to this show, odds are you are marriage-minded, or you're thinking about becoming more marriage-minded, or you're definitely someone who's interested in real relationships, not the kind of relationships that are just about one person using the other, but real relationships, loving relationships, committed, leading toward marriage. So if that's who you are, the question that people often ask me is, well, how do you find other people who are also marriage-minded, who are also commitment-minded, not players? How do you find them? Well, you know, you can't just walk around with a big sign around your neck or a big T-shirt that is emblazoned with the words, I'm looking for marriage. That makes you look desperate. That would be ridiculous. You wouldn't do that. But you know what? You don't have to walk around with a big T-shirt with the message, I'm looking for marriage on it, in order to appear desperate. Because people can pick it up if you are. If you are feeling so needy about finding someone to get married to, I promise you, other people are able to pick that up. And I want to talk about the difference between neediness and desperation and intentional, because there's a very big difference in, first of all, your attitude, how it is that you feel about the situations that you approach that when you are dating, and also what it, the unconscious messages that you are putting out there that other people are picking up. So needy versus intentional, very big difference. Needy drives people away. I mean, it really does. Who wants to go out with somebody really, really needy? Intentional, on the other hand, draws people in. When you don't need to have a situation turn out or go your way, but when you are instead very intentional about finding someone who is right for you, that conveys a message of inner strength, inner awareness, and inner strength. Needy is looking for someone who's going to solve all your life issues and make you happy. You know, the person who's going to, I don't know, get you out of debt or rescue you from a bad job or rescue you from a past bad relationship or something like that. Needy is that searching for someone who's going to solve your life problems and make you happy. You weren't happy to begin with, but boy, if you could just meet the right person, you would be happy. That's neediness. It's a turnoff. No one wants that. Intentional, on the other hand, is the search for someone that would be a partner to you, someone who is compatible, someone who is available to love and be loved just as you are, someone with whom you can align yourself about the things that matter to you in life. Someone who wants to walk down, you know, that path of life that says, you know, life is good and we're enjoying life. And, you know, we live our lives with intention. We do our best to be positive and to make a positive difference in the world. And intentional is looking for someone that feels the same way that you do about that, who is compatible with you. Very powerful. It's very attractive. Needy is that expectation that your happiness resides in someone else's choices and behaviors. Oh, boy. You know, if you would just do A, B, C, D, and E, I would be happy. That's neediness. No one really wants that. Intentional, on the other hand, is walking around already happy, looking for another happy person. And since I'm talking about happiness, let's have a definition of happiness. You know, it's happiness is not walking around giddy. It doesn't mean you're on cloud nine. It doesn't mean your feet are barely touching the ground. Happiness, you know, someone recently said to me, a good working definition of happiness is an overall experience of both pleasure and purpose with both a present and future benefit. An overall experience of both pleasure and purpose with both a present and future benefit. How does that sound to you? You know, to me that sounds pretty darn good. And it's very different from the kind of maybe, you might call it a positive feeling, but kind of a high that you might get from the things that you do in life that are more associated with addiction. So, and, you know, addiction sounds like a really strong word, but I do think that that is the best word that describes that path that we get on when we are seeking things to make up for a deficit inside ourselves. And so And so happiness, that overall experience of pleasure and purpose with a present and future benefit, very different from addiction, because addiction behavior may give you a present benefit, but you are headed for a future major downfall if you're engaged in addictive behavior. And on the other hand, behavior that gives you lasting future benefits is sometimes not very pleasant in the present time. Sometimes there are sacrifices. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to do the things in the present. But knowing that you are doing it for a future long-term benefit is why you do it. So what would be an example of that? I think a really great example of that is asking powerful questions on your dates. For instance, one of the questions that I coach singles to ask sometime on the first or second date, the question is this: how long has it been since your last relationship, and how did it end? How long has it been, and how did it end? Powerful question. Gets you a lot of information about the other person if you are using it. So I have a question for you, those of you who are listening live right now, and that is, when was the last time you ignored your own inner compass? When was the last time that you were getting those little feelings inside yourself that something wasn't quite right, that your intuition was trying to tell you that you were perhaps going into a situation that wasn't the best for you, but you didn't listen to it? You ignored it. What happened? How did that turn out for you? I'd love to hear your story. Call and tell us your story. I think that not only can you learn from it, but other people will learn from it as well. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. So hang on. Okay, we're back with more love strategies. So I want to talk for a moment about something that I get lots and lots of questions about, and that is the old rebound relationship. Lots of people ask me, what is a rebound relationship? Is it, what exactly, how would you define that, and is it unhealthy to be in a rebound relationship? That's usually what people ask me, and sometimes people ask me that because they think that their friend is in a rebound relationship. Very rarely do people ask me if their current relationship is a rebound relationship. That's because usually when you're in it, you cannot spot it. It is only in hindsight that you think maybe that was a rebound relationship. But if you are wanting to be more intentional about the things that are happening in your life as they are happening, well, let's talk about what it is to be in a rebound relationship, and then maybe if you're in one, you might recognize yourself. Rebound relationships occur very shortly after the end of a significant relationship, and sometimes it begins even before the end of the other relationship. So, and the problem with a rebound is that it doesn't allow time for the healing process from the old relationship to be complete. And so when that happens, there's emotional confusion. So sometimes people just simply transfer their feelings from the old partner to the new one. And then that results in the illusion that you found somebody totally different. In fact, one of the signposts of a rebound relationship is when people say, oh, this person is so different from the last one. But usually when people are saying that this person is different, they've usually found someone who's very much like the old person. Maybe not in terms of their personality or the kind of job they have or that sort of thing. But often that person is very much like the old person in that they provoke the same issues that you had in the old relationship. So rebound relationships actually do serve a purpose. and that is to protect the heart from the pain of losing someone very important. Like a very big cushion, they protect us from the trauma of the fall that is experienced when a deep connection is abruptly severed. And it can be healthy as long as you are aware of the purpose and take your time, pace the relationship carefully with your new partner. If you're not paying attention, a rebound relationship can be unhealthy. And some of the potential issues that you see with a rebound relationship are, one example is expecting the new partner to make up for all the shortcomings of the old. So, you know, I've heard people say, well, since my last girlfriend cheated on me, I expect you to give me 100% reassurance of your loyalty 24 hours a day. That's a little difficult to deliver on. You know, the current person is not the one who cheated on you, and it's not reasonable to expect someone, especially in a new relationship, to give you some sort of 100% reassurance that they're going to be loyal. And also, if you are in pain from someone cheating on you in the past, odds are you're a little bit paranoid anyway. And so that gets you into trouble because then you become very insistent on examining every little move that the current person is making. Doesn't work very well. You know, another thing is commitment hunger. You know, for instance, I've heard people say, well, my last boyfriend dated me for 3 years without making a commitment, so I am expecting the ring, the engagement ring, within 6 months or else I'm out of here. You know, so that kind of commitment hunger can really ruin the possibilities of a current relationship because maybe the new guy is very intentional, very marriage-minded, but 6 months may not be his time frame. You know, people have different emotional timetables for falling deeper in love and for commitment and the deepening of that into the awareness that this is the person they want to marry and then making that decision to actually say and to actually talk about getting married and to propose and that sort of thing can be a very different timeline for two different people. And if you have a very rigid timeline about getting engaged when you are dating somebody, you know, that's commitment hunger. That's not reasonable. And then there's also chronic fear and anxiety. You know, after what my ex did to me, I have to constantly check to see that you're really there for me, even if that drives you crazy. You know, are you always there? Are you always going to pick up the phone? Are you going to answer every little text message I send you 15 times a day? That sort of chronic fear and anxiety is really debilitating to a relationship. And then the other big issue that I see in rebound relationships is skyrocket relationships. You know, often these rebound relationships are too fast-paced with kind of a false sense of urgency. It's as if the two people are speeding forward as fast as they can to try to make sure that this one sticks, you know, with the illusion that if we become committed to one another lightning fast, if we get married in a nanosecond, if we do all these things, that will somehow guarantee that this is the right relationship and that it will stick. But no amount of rushing forward in a new relationship is any kind of a guarantee. The way that healthy relationships work is by building a foundation, and that foundation gets built over time. And so if you rush into a marriage with someone that you barely know, then you're building the foundation after the marriage, after you've already, you know, as the old expression is, the cows are already out of the barn, so you can't get them back in. It's a little late to build the foundation after that. Doesn't mean it can't ever work out. You do occasionally see that rare instance of people who get married very quickly, and it does work out. But it's a very big gamble to take with your life. So the biggest risk, I think, of a rebound relationship is that it may simply serve its purpose, and then the rebounder moves on, and that can often leave somebody devastated. So if you're dating someone who's just left another relationship, you need to know that you may have a person who is not yet ready. And you can't allow the rebounding person to set the pace, because often the rebounding person wants to move too quickly. And they may then stretch your ability to respond appropriately. What you have to do, what I think is smart to do, is to take your time, allow the relationship to develop slowly, and take good care of yourself emotionally, and trust that if this relationship is really good, if it's really meant to be, it will work out. You never lose anything by pacing a relationship and taking your time to get to know someone. And it can actually be very powerful for anybody who is experiencing any level of anxiety in the rebound relationship or the potential rebound relationship. To pace gives you a chance to take a few deep breaths and get your brain working so that you're making these decisions not based on anxiety and fear, but rather based on two people who are getting to know one another and are discovering that they do have something special and that it is worth pursuing. That is a very good outcome. And so, you know what? If that is what you do, what you can often find is that the relationship that might have been a big rebound and a big giant gallop over the precipice actually turns out to be a good relationship by being smart about it. It's amazing how that works. Rebound relationships. So, let's see. Well, I've got someone writing in to me. Kay has a question tonight. I'm going to spend a few minutes on Kay's question. She spent a few minutes here giving me some detail, so I'm going to just read to you her question, and then I'm going to do a response to her. So Kay writes in saying, "Dear Nina," she says, "I told you before how much I appreciate your guidance through temptations of the single girl, and also Be Your Own Dating service." And she says, "I've been studying them every single day since I got them. It's been about 2 months now." And she says, "I'm very serious about changing my old patterns about dating, and it's amazing how much progress I've made. It definitely empowers me and makes me realize how important my values are." She says, "I've joined an online dating service and expanded my social life, and I feel a lot better and happier with my life." She says, "You suggest to date more than one guy at a time, so I'll have more choices. So I've been doing it, accepting dates of 30 to 60 minutes at the most, just talking and finding out if they're emotionally available." She says, "I'm dating a couple of guys who fit what I want, but it really confuses me. I don't want to hurt anybody, and I need guidance. You know, when should I stop seeing one of them if they both seem to be real matches? It's a little uncomfortable because even though I haven't been physical with either one of them, I feel kind of like I'm cheating." So, Kay, here's my answer to you. First of all, I just want to say, way to go. You are really transforming your life, and that's awesome. That is fantastic. You have really taken this on to make these positive changes. So good to go for that. Now, let's talk about how to figure out how far to take a potential relationship and how to manage the journey. So here's the issue, and it's attachment. And you do have to manage yourself through that. You can feel attracted to more than one guy at a time. It's perfectly normal to feel that way. The question, though, is can you be attached to more than one without hurting yourself or them? And the answer is no. At some point, you do have to choose who it is you're going to get to know at a deeper level and make an emotional investment with that person. So have you ever watched The Bachelor, you know, the ABC reality show in which one single person dates several other people simultaneously? Well, if you've ever watched it, then you know that if you keep dating more than one person over an extended period of time, it can be very emotionally confusing. If more than one person starts to fall in love with you, it can be emotionally devastating to the one that you don't choose. So you're right to be concerned, but I think right now it's probably too soon for you to bail out of one of these potential relationships. I think here's the thing. When a guy asks you out, he does take an emotional risk. And if you go out with him one time, he asks you out again you say no, he's going to feel something. He's going to feel rejected and stung. You know, that happens from very early on. But at that point, it's mostly ego. He hasn't spent enough time with you to really feel he's losing you. He doesn't even know you yet. And so mostly he feels stung and rejected about the fact that his ego took a hit and that he's imagining what a great relationship with you might be like. You know, I'm going back to The Bachelor again, but, you know, when I watch that show, I see people who get rejected very early in the game. They don't even know The Bachelor yet, and yet they're crying and bawling and carrying on as if they've just lost a fiancé. You know, just it's way over the top. And that is ego. That is just feeling stung because you didn't get something you thought you wanted. So, but let's go back to this these guys that you're dating. So if you go out with a guy several times and then you say no, he's going to feel rejected plus, and that plus may be that he has begun falling in love with you and he now feels hurt on a deeper level. It might be mostly ego, but it may be that he's developing real feelings for you. So every time you say yes and go out with him, you communicate with your behavior that you are interested in him. And if you want to go past about 3 dates with more than one guy, it's only fair to make it clear to both parties that this is what you are doing. That way, they can evaluate the risks and make an informed choice. It is risky, but you sidestep the temptation of dating without integrity when you tell the truth. So it's typically difficult to sustain a high level of interest in more than one person past about 3 or 4 dates. If you do, then that may be a sign that you've fallen into the classic situation of seeing qualities in each guy that you want, but neither one of them on his own is the full package. In that case, it is better to cut them both loose and make yourself available for meeting someone who offers the best of both worlds in one person. Have you ever done that? So those of you who are listening, have you ever found yourself dating more than one person and wishing that you had the person that would be the combination of the two of them? You know, that if I could just combine these two people, I would have the perfect guy. So, all right, I'm going to take just a brief break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stick around. Don't go away. We'll be back with more love strategies in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
All right, welcome back to Love Strategies. I want to take a moment and address another question that's coming in for me, and that's coming in from Amy. And Amy has a little bit of a story to tell. So here's what happened in Amy's world. She met a guy online, Richard, and after a couple of emails, they agreed to talk on the phone, and that went well. So they set up a date for drinks after work, and the sparks flew, and boy, 2.5 hours later, and a bottle of wine, and then they said, "Okay, let's go and get a bite to eat." So they went to a nearby restaurant. Dinner was fabulous. They couldn't stop talking, and time just flu, and suddenly they realized it was very late in the evening. And so Richard asked if he could follow Amy home to make sure she was okay. Well, that turned into an invitation to come in for a cup of coffee, and one thing led to the next, and Richard didn't walk out of Amy's door until 6 o'clock the following morning, and the only reason he left at that point was to go to work. So Amy and Richard had a classic marathon date that lasted for 12 hours. Boy, they had a blast. They had tons of fun. It was romantic. It was spontaneous. What is wrong with this picture? Well, it was too much too soon. The problem with marathon dates is that they almost never lead to great relationships. What happened to Richard and Amy is very typical. So that day, Richard rushed home, showered and dressed, and rushed to his office for work, and there he dove into his day. And although he paused once or twice during his day to kind of reflect on this little glow that he had about Amy, and he thought, wow, what a sexy, gorgeous woman. He was pretty much too busy to do anything else. And so Amy, meanwhile, was waiting by the phone at her office for the call. You know, the call. Amy wanted Richard to call within the hour or sooner to tell her how much he felt for her and to schedule their next date, hopefully for that very night. That would be the best. Fresh flowers delivered to her office that day would have been the perfect punctuation mark to their romantic launch. You know, what would be wrong with that? But why were her expectations so high? I mean, she only just met the guy because she gave herself away to a virtual stranger. And the last thing she wants to feel is cheap. She doesn't want to feel like she was just a sexy body to him. She wants to feel like she's made a significant connection with a guy who could be her future husband. Well, Richard, being a guy, was not quite thinking the same way she was. And so he thought he had tons of time to follow up. And true to form, he didn't call her until 3 days later. And when he did call, it was to suggest that he come over to her house the following night to cook dinner together. So being a real classy dude, he suggested he would bring his favorite wine as well as a couple of steaks. And, you know, secretly, Richard was thinking, well, maybe I'll get laid again. Amy, in the meanwhile, after dealing with a lot of insecurity for about 3 days, breathed a sigh of relief. You know, she's thinking, oh, God, finally he called. So she accepted his offer, and she immediately got back into her romantic visions of this great relationship that was unfolding with a terrific guy. It was probably her future husband, right? And so, but where did this whole thing really wind up? Well, they did continue to see one another. It took several weeks of cycling through these last-minute dates. All right, let's call it what it is, booty calls, and lots of insecurity on Amy's part and bewilderment on Richard's part and escalating drama. Well, finally, Richard threw in the towel. And his takeaway was that Amy was an insecure drama queen, definitely not marriage material, not even girlfriend material. Her takeaway was that Richard was a selfish jerk who only wanted to use her. So what might have been a great relationship was ruined by too much too soon. Most people just can't handle the intensity of emotions that are aroused when they sleep together so quickly. And the truth is, they're actually two very good people. They really, neither one of them was really crazy or mean or cruel or awful. They were really good people who might have had a great connection if they had simply avoided the temptation to spend so many hours together and then just dive into bed on the first date. So marathon dates don't really take you down the path where it is that you're trying to go. If you are intentional about having a committed relationship that's on the path to marriage, those marathon dates are going to get you in trouble. And if you weren't drinking so much, because I've never, ever heard of a couple having a a truly long marathon date that didn't include some alcohol. Maybe they do sometimes, but mostly it includes a lot of alcohol. And if people weren't losing their defenses and their ability to ask smart questions, then they wouldn't get into that situation. And so if you are intentional about getting yourself into a relationship that can develop into a commitment and move down the path to marriage, then I would suggest that you don't have those incredibly long dates with someone you don't yet know. And instead, to pace your relationships. And that means be of the mindset of doing what is sometimes a bit of a sacrifice now in order to give you some lasting future benefits. You know, when you meet somebody really special, you really don't want to tell them after you've just gone out with them that you're not available for a few more days. When you meet somebody and you're really attracted to them, you pretty much want to spend a lot of time with them. But if you're intentional about doing what's going to give you those future benefits, then you can rein yourself in and you can say, you know, when he calls the next day after a terrific date the night before and wants to go out that night again, it really is okay. And in fact, I recommend that you simply say, I'm so glad you called. I had a wonderful time too. And I've got plans already, you know, for tonight and the next couple of nights, but how about on Friday night? Renegotiate and ask for a night that is further down the road. What that will do for you, number one, it is a little bit of a pushback that allows you to see how intentional he is, which is a good thing. So if he says, oh, great, I'd love to get together Friday night, then that is one more signpost that he's intentional in pursuing you. And it also gives you a chance to kind of come down from that cloud nine that you're floating on, where you're imagining this fabulous future unfolding and you don't yet know if he's really the right guy for you. It lets you kind of come down from that high and get your feet back on the ground so that when you go out with him the second time, hopefully you're a little more grounded again. And being grounded gives you the ability to make discernments. And being able to make discernments is really, really important in dating. So pacing a relationship means deliberately not asking for dates real quickly together if you're the guy, but also if you're the woman. Pacing a relationship means that you are going to not accept dates that are one right on top of the other. You're gonna negotiate for a longer time frame between dates. And it's also smart to have shorter dates in the beginning with someone when you don't know them very well so that you avoid that whole marathon date scenario. And again, no alcohol those first few dates. It's just smarter to not do that. All right, so we're going to take another little short break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more love strategies in just a moment. All right, welcome back to Love Strategies. You know, I had an interesting interview this past week with a local television station, and they wanted to ask me a few questions about a new kind of telephone app that you can get. And if you do a little search on the internet called Stud or Dud, you'll pull up a website. It's actually called studordud.com, and this is only one example of the kind of app that I'm talking about, and it is used with your iPhone, and I think you can get it for other types of phones as well. And basically what it is a little application that allows you to do a very quick background search in real time so that you could potentially, let's say, be sitting at dinner with someone that, brand new that you've just met, and let's say that you would like to find out a little bit more about his background before you get too enraptured with him, and you might just take a little break and go into the ladies' room and plug his name into your little iPhone app called Stud or Dud or something similar to that, and then in real time you will get a very quick search result that will tell you if this person has a bankruptcy, if they're, it'll give a history of their address, home address, so you get to see if they're moving around all the time. It'll show you marriages and divorces, property ownership, the, of course, the criminal and sex offender records, business licenses. I don't know why you'd need that, but you might. Evictions and a few other things like that. And so what we ended up talking about in this interview was, you know, first of all, is this a good thing? Is this a useful thing for you to have? This Stud or Dud or similar type app, you know, is this really a useful thing for you? And you know, I think that it certainly wouldn't hurt to do it, but let's put this in perspective. Because I think the temptation in today's world is so strong to rush into a relationship because the guy is cute and because he seems to want you, because he's so interested in you. He seems nice, and so your assumption may be, therefore, he is nice. But let's put that into perspective. You know, Ted Bundy actually dated women and even fathered a child while he was on death row. That's right. Anybody can appear to be nice. That does not make them nice. You know, we used to date in a social context where you already knew the person's reputation. You knew something about them because you knew family, you knew friends, you knew people in the community that knew that person. But we've really lost a lot of that social context. Nowadays, most people are doing what I call stranger dating, which is where you meet someone online, you meet them perhaps in a business setting, you meet them, sometimes people meet in mega church, you know, the very, very large churches where there are thousands of people who go there. You know, even if you meet someone in church, there's no guarantee that they have good character or that they're safe. The BTK killer was a deacon in his church. So, you know, the bottom line is that there is no substitute for doing your due diligence when you are dating people that you don't know, that you don't have any background information about them. And so, yeah, you might want to use one of these little apps to do a quick background search on somebody, but there are limitations to how much information you can get out of this. For instance, you might be able to find out that the guy that you're sitting there on a date with has not filed for bankruptcy, but it won't tell you if he's been fired from his last three jobs because he showed up intoxicated. You won't see that in a background search. You know, that it may tell you that he's not married, but it doesn't tell you if he's a player. It doesn't tell you if he is the guy who seduces women and takes advantage of them and then kind of leaves them in the dust and does that on a regular basis. You won't be able to see that in a background search. So the bottom line is that it is never smart to hook up with someone you just met, and for women, it's downright dangerous without knowing a lot more about them. So your due diligence is what it is that you do as you pace your relationships spread out over time, as I've been talking about tonight. Meet them in a public place, no alcohol, have short dates, and of course, absolutely no sex until you're in a committed relationship. You might do a basic background check, but then I think that you have to follow that up with more information, such as asking for references. You know, when you don't have any social context, ask to know who some of their friends are, business associates, and people who can vouch for him before you go to his house or do something that might put you in danger. And then learning how to ask the questions that reveal his true character. And you do that by finding out his past behavior, because, of course, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So you might ask that tell-all question: how long since your last relationship, and how did it end? And, of course, if he tells you that his last relationship was, you know, ended last week and she threw all his belongings in the front yard and burned them, that might tell you that he's kind of coming off of a big problem, and he might not be the most emotionally available guy running around. And also you want to wonder, well, why was his last girlfriend so enraged? Could be she was crazy, like he's telling you, but maybe she wasn't crazy. Maybe he drove her crazy. You just never know until you get more information about someone. But here's the thing. You have to use your gut feelings to tell you if something doesn't feel right. Most women later report that they knew something wasn't right, but they ignored the signals. You know, that inner compass that is trying to tell you what it is that is going to be good for you and what it is that is not going to be so good for you. All right. So, well, we are going to wrap up another episode of Love Strategies tonight, and I want to invite you to come back next week. We will air again at 6 p.m. Central, and I'll be taking your toughest questions about love and life and dating and relationships. So please do come back and join us. In the meanwhile, be sure and go to my website, Singles Coach, and I'll give you a little more information about that in just a moment. And also be sure and send me your questions, that that the things that are confounding you. If you don't want to talk live on the air, that's cool. Just email me, Nina@singlescoach.com, and I'll be glad to take your questions and read them aloud and respond to them on the air. All right, so, and I hope you have a really wonderful week this week and that you will be living and dating intentionally. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.